Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode 72.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we give you a glimpse into the world of the biggest voice actors in the industry over a delicious cup of coffee. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know more about me, feel free to check out my website at andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have the amazing Mandy Fisher, or you may know her as Astoria Redhead from her TikTok alias. Mandy is an amazing voiceover talent and coach, as well as the founder of the Voice Actor Roadmap. In addition to building herself an incredibly successful business in the voiceover industry, she has made it her mission to provide resources and battle against a sea of misinformation in the voiceover industry. In this episode, you're going to hear us chat about curating client experiences, the VO side of TikTok, and using social media to find work.
So how are you doing today, Mandy?
I'm good. It's nice to start off the day where you don't get like urgent emails and things are just kind of like nice and nothing unexpected has happened so far. I mean, so far it's only 10 o'clock, but so far so good.
Do you get a lot of urgent stuff first thing in the morning?
Sometimes. Yeah. I would say at least once or twice a week, cause people are hitting me up from all different time zones and Right. Sometimes, you get that request in the middle of the night and wake up and it's the first thing you see like, ASAP.
Hey, we need this within 2 hours and you got it at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah,
exactly. I try to have some boundaries now in my old age. I try to, instill some boundaries there. But yeah, I would say once or twice a week, there's always a day where you got some urgent stuff that's come in that you have to pay, attention to first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Well, how do you start your day? How do you take your coffee in the morning?
I take several cups of coffee in the morning. The first thing I do is I have a shot of espresso, sometimes two, depending on how I feel. But I wake up pretty early. I get up around 4:30, 5 o'clock every day. And I have my espresso, and then I'll go about my morning routine. And then around like 7:30, I'll have a latte and then probably an iced coffee or two throughout the day.
What kind of coffee maker are you using for espresso and iced coffees? And are you using an espresso or?
I have an espresso. I have I have a Ninja, which does like the pods, but also like ground coffee. Yeah. That's like my favorite machine ever. It's so cool.
So how did you get started in the voiceover industry?
It was an accident. I was a child actor and I was doing like film and TV and theater and all that stuff as a kid. And I was working with an agent who called my parents and said, can you get Mandy to the recording studio today? Someone that we hired for the job can't do it. And at the time, there weren't that many voiceover actors my age in the area. And so I think they probably just went down the list of the people who they had on their roster. And, I'm lucky that F is closer to the top of the alphabet. And they were just like, get her there. And so they pulled me out of school and I went to a recording studio and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And it was a national commercial and I just did it. I just was having fun. And to this day, that client is still a client of mine. So it was a relationship forged by accident that is still a lovely client to this day.
So what client is it? Am I allowed to ask?
Yeah, of course. Macy's.
Macy's?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. So what did you start doing when you started really delving into voiceover? Like how were you like approaching the market? Were you a direct marketing person? Were you a pay-to-play person?
When I was really, when I really decided, okay, I need to focus here and make this work. I was always relying on agents. But I was in the beginning of my career, I was a strictly one agent gal. I didn't really understand that it was expected as a voiceover actor to freelance with multiple and in different markets and that kind of thing. Because growing up, you signed across the board. You had one agent. That's just how I knew the game to be. And once I kind of discovered that, I was relying heavily, solely on agents for a while. And then realized that I was cutting myself off by not doing direct marketing. I've played around on pay to plays, like for the free versions, and I've used a couple of paid, some of the smaller pay to plays, but I've never done the Voice 123 or Voices, or, you know, I don't love that business model. And I don't love, especially since the pandemic, the way things have changed and how some of the stuff has come about. So I'm not a pay to play gal, but I do enjoy direct marketing and I do use my agents and I love social media and I love to connect with other actors. So I rely on those things.
Gotcha. So I was actually watching some of your social media content on TikTok, and you, recently you were talking about the sales process getting old and how you're currently finding new ways to kind of curate experiences for potential clients. So what are some recent ways that you have found ways to curate those experiences?
Yeah, I mean, so I think the industry has changed so much. I mean, even in the last year, what worked last year doesn't necessarily work this year. And some of those traditional ways of reaching out to people just doesn't, I find for me personally, just doesn't seem to land anymore because people are over it and they're just tired of having the same conversations. And so usually the way I approach a new client is I will create something for them. Like it's low hanging fruit for me. It's very minimal effort for me to create something because I do it all the time. So right. I'll give them something custom, or maybe they've put out a social media video on their website that doesn't have a voiceover. So I'll take that. I'll go to their website, write some copy and give them a quick video, something that they can actually use and see how I work, give them something that is this experience, is what voiceover is and what I can do for them. So I try to show them it's not just voiceover, but I can also write copy. I can do this. I can help you create a marketing experience, for lack of better words, and in this one woman show. So I've been doing that, and that seems to be really rocking people's brains because it's unexpected. They don't expect a first touch email to have a deliverable. And yeah, I think that's been cool so far.
How time consuming is that?
It's not. It's because I do it so often. I mean, maybe at first when I was figuring it out, yeah, I was, you know, going through some bumps and trying to figure out the best ways to go about it. But now that I've done it so frequently, it's, you know, doesn't take too long at all.
So what are those sales processes that you think are getting old and are no longer relevant like last year? Like what are those conversations that you're talking about that we're having over and over that they're getting tired of?
I think the things that people say are the traditional ways of reaching out to people with these emails that have, you know, make a connection with somebody. I don't think people care anymore if you have dogs and they're both named Spot, like, or, you know, if your grandfathers went to the same college, like people don't care about that making a connection stuff anymore because they're over it and they just want to make their job, their life, their thing that they're doing simpler, easier, faster, better. So if you can show that, again, this is just me and my experience so far, but if you can show that in the first touch, hey, I'm solving a problem for you right now without any strings attached, that instills trust. It instills this way of working that is efficient and doesn't cost them anything up front. And I think that has a bigger impact than being like, oh yeah, we both like to surf. Cool. Like, you know, some of those... some of those things, which you can get to later on, right? You can always chat about that, you know, in the fifth or sixth email that you send. But in that first touch, I like to get right to the point and kind of cut out all of that other noise and just like couple sentences, here's something that you can use. And that has gotten me a lot more response recently than, you know, some of those other longer emails where we're getting into our life stories.
Gotcha. And speaking of email marketing, when I sent you the Zoom link, I noticed that your signature said typed on tiny aluminum oscillate glass. Does that have like some story behind of it? I'm really curious.
That's my phone signature. So, you know, I'm typing on tiny aluminum oscillate glass on my phone, and
okay, gotcha.
A lot of problems and errors that's going to happen from doing that. So try not to judge me too harshly.
So at one point did you start incorporating social media into your marketing?
I guess you're referring to TikTok probably, because that's
well,
where
TikTok and Instagram. I mean, you are very prominent on TikTok, but I didn't know if it started in another platform and then eventually just branched off into TikTok.
I mean, I think I've been an Instagram user since inception, but it's never really been something that I've thought too much about in terms mm-hmm. of using in my marketing. I think for a while I was posting work, but I realized that most of the engagement I was getting was from like other actors in this, you know, validating right. sort of way. And that was great, but it's not moving the needle for me in terms mm-hmm. of getting new clients. So I kind of stopped posting my work across social media and just started showing up, talking about the community or doing some fun skits or things that I enjoyed, like content that I enjoyed creating that isn't necessarily work, but still fun and educative. And I've gotten more clients from that kind of thing on TikTok than ever posting like, here's the latest commercial I did, or here's, you know, some looping that I did, like whatever, like not showing my work, but showing up as me and just talking and my personality. And that yeah. has gotten me more work from people than the other way around. So when I realized that was happening, I was like, oh, well, maybe I should keep doing this. Maybe I should keep showing up and see what happens.
And so how are you getting work utilizing TikTok? Are clients reaching out to you? Or are you using yeah. like their programs or, oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not contacting anybody. They'll stumble upon, you know, maybe they're searching voiceover actor or whatever, and my content sometimes pops up, or, you know, they've seen connections or whatever. And yeah, it's been kind of wild, because that was not what I set out to do. What I set out to do on TikTok was to try to combat some of the nonsense I was seeing about voiceover and just try to be a different perspective from some of the things that I were seeing that was just patently wrong. Like, not even opinion, you know, this sounds wrong. No, this is not correct. Like, you can't.
Like what?
Like, you know, using your phone to make a couple $1,000 a month on ACX. Like, it's just, you know, that's not how it works.
And, no, like, it's not how it works.
So I was seeing so many videos like that. Or like, hey, you can make crazy money just by going on Voices, but they neglect to, you know, show you. Yes, of course, there's a possibility to make money, but some of these clickbaity videos were just, all you have to do is speak English and that's it. And right. trying to educate people, like, well, you know, the name of the game is voice acting. Like, you're a voice actor. It's kind of important to be able to be an actor in these scenarios. So really, content on TikTok was born out of anger and vengeance. But now it's just, now I try to talk about my experiences and have a little bit of fun. And people have contacted me, producers and some casting directors have been like, well, we like your personality and you and what you say, and presumably you're able to do some other stuff because you're a working actor. So do you want to try working together? And boom, there you go.
So how are you finding new ways to create content? Like, I mean, there's only so much clickbaity stuff. I mean, there's plenty of it. There's plenty yeah. of clickbaity stuff. But like, how are you diversifying your content and like figuring out like strategies to do? Are you using AI? Are you copying trends? Are you just kind of using your daily life? Like, how are you?
Yeah.
I wish
I had more of a strategy, because it would be sometimes my day would feel less stressful. Now I'm kind of just flying by the seat of my pants, to be completely honest. I see things that I'll respond to, or I'll experience something in a experience with a client or recording something or whatever. And I just try to be transparent about the way the industry works from my perspective and the things that I'm doing and the different verticals that I'm working in. But I wish I had more of a strategy. Maybe that should be a goal, is to implement some kind of TikTok strategy.
So did TikTok come first, or did the VO roadmap come first? Was the VO roadmap like in another vein, trying to like get rid of misinformation and say, hey, here are actual strategies to increase your career?
Yeah. I think the VO roadmap has always been in the back of my mind, because mm-hmm. again, when I was a kid, there was nothing. There was not a ton of information about voiceover, and definitely not voiceover for kid. And so it was always something that I wish I had had mm-hmm. when I was going through my figuring out my life stuff with voiceover. And because now there's so much information, everyone's got a course, everyone has videos, there's you could spend years probably going through free information that there is right. online. And I recommend you do that for sure, because there's a lot of good information, but there's also not a lot of good information. But it's increasingly right. harder to know what's good and what isn't. So I tried to create something, you know, that I thought was good, and not just, like I said, opinion based, but actual things that have worked for me and things that have not worked for me, and kind of show there's more than one way to do this. And mm-hmm. you kind of have to figure out what that is for you specifically, because what works for me isn't going to work for you, and vice versa. So yeah, I think it's always just been in the back of my mind, bubbling there, but finally getting it out into the world has been really scary for me, because I want people to succeed, and I want people to feel like they're getting, you know, the right information that's going to help them for their investment. But yeah, that I think it probably came first. I think that was your question. I don't know.
Yes.
I just started rambling. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. So like, what were like some of the first things that you put on the VO roadmap, and how has it evolved over the years?
Yeah, I think the first couple of stuff was very basic. Like, here's how to, like, first steps, like, here's what you should do, here's books you should read, here's podcasts you should listen to, here's stuff that has helped me kind of understand the industry at large, and understand that it's not just animation and commercial, but oh, there's radio imaging and looping and e-learning and corporate and IVR and medical and political. Like, there's so many different aspects of voiceover where you might not necessarily even think about that being part of your job and getting paid for it, no less. So the first kind of thing that I wanted to make sure people understood is that you encounter voiceover in so many different ways in your daily life, and you can be part of that world also.
Gotcha. So with all the genres of voiceover, what do you primarily market towards? I mean, I know you started with a national commercial, but like, yeah. but like, what do you see?
All been downhill since then.
But what do you see the bulk of your work has been this year?
This year it has been commercial for sure. I mean, we're only in barely touching March, but so far it's right. been commercial and a lot of corporate and like e-learning, that kind of stuff. Last year was really hard because of the strikes, and a lot of my work up until that point had been a lot of looping, and so not having that kind of, you know, for the better part of the year, it was like 9 months where we didn't have anything, and it still hasn't picked up quite yet, and I don't anticipate seeing that picking up until probably even like June or July. If it does at all, maybe we might still be seeing the effects of the strike throughout the end of the year, which is what I predict, but trying to be optimistic.
Yeah.
But it really kind of forced me to figure other stuff out. And that's when I kind of kicked up my direct marketing up a notch and started trying to facilitate these experiences for people, and really focus in other markets, like in Europe, and I started working with some agents in Europe and focusing more on global voiceover and not just here in the United States.
So how did you start in looping? Were you direct marketing to looping companies? Did you get an audition and then just kind of stayed within the same people? How did you get into the looping world?
Yeah, no, I started working with Peter Pamela Rose, who's a lovely actor and casting director. And it took a while. Like, I've known her for 9 years, 8 years. And she had a program that I took, and we just stayed in touch. And one day she said, "Hey, are you available to come do some looping?" And I was like, "Okay, I don't know what the fuck that is, but sure, I'll be there." And my whole world was kind of rocked.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Again, did not know this side of the industry existed.
It's so technical.
Yeah, it's bananas.
I love
it. It's a crazy world. But then I met other looping coordinators and other people in looping just from doing it that one time, and then met other people and started getting on other looping rosters. And it's a tight-knit community, looping community. So it really is about that one open door and then keeping that door open for as long as possible.
Awesome. So what kind of coaching do you do? I know that you do coaching, but like, is it vocal coaching? Is it business coaching? What kind of coaching do you specialize in?
Yeah. A little bit of everything at this point. I teach like monthly, I call them gyms, where we can work out some of the things that you are trying to get better at, whether it's commercial or radio imaging or e-learning or anything that's kind of on your mind. I will definitely love to work out with you. But I do a lot of business coaching, and I just launched something that I haven't seen anywhere. But I was starting having conversations with actors, starting to realize that there was this gap where people who aren't working with agents don't necessarily know how to work with agents until they're working with agents. And sometimes those little nuances, labeling correctly, following directions, slating where you're supposed to, getting things in by the deadline, because you're so focused being the actor and doing well in the audition that some of those other things slip through the cracks. And if you don't follow those directions or you don't label correctly, one of two things will happen. Either the agent will email you back and say, "Hey, fix this," and you know that ticks people off and wastes people's time, or they just won't send it to casting. And you know, neither one of those things are great. So I wanted to kind of create this role play where I would act as an agent, send people auditions, and they could see what it's like to get them all hours of the day, all different kinds of directions, you know, things on a Word document or a full pitch deck, like seeing different ways that auditions are sent and then following all of those specific directions in a timely manner while also producing a good audition. So I've been doing that. I just launched that last week, I guess, and I've got a couple people doing it, and it's been eye-opening for me too to see what people go through. And sometimes people say, "I can't get this in today," and they're stressing. I'm like, it's just me. Like, you know, you get to make all the mistakes and try out all the things and figure out all the things with me and in this safe space. But it's good for them to understand auditions don't have a schedule. Like, they come in all the time, and you know, you have to figure out if you have another job, a full-time job, a part-time job, kids, family, a life outside of voiceover, how you're going to work that in and fit that in. And you don't know until you know, but now I've created this, I call it the audition experience, so that you can kind of do a test run and see, see how that incorporates into your life.
Are you also replicating the experience of getting the same audition from multiple agents?
No, no, I don't do that, because to me, you shouldn't be. Like, if you're working with more than one agent, you really shouldn't have a ton of overlap. Maybe like once in a blue moon I do, and I work with 9 different agents. So it's very rare when I get overlap. And if you are getting a ton of overlap, that's something that you should probably figure out, because that's not really, you're not taking advantage of the agent in the way that you should, and they're not utilizing you in the way that you should. So if you're getting a ton of overlap, I say maybe that's a relationship you should reexamine.
Gotcha. Okay. So when you're coaching somebody's business and the actual business aspect of it, what do you see a lot of problem areas in recently with some of your students?
Yeah. Sometimes it's just fear. And, like, they're afraid of doing it, like actually just moving forward and doing direct marketing, reaching out to people, reaching out to agents, because they're afraid of sounding stupid, sending the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, like all these different things. It's really a lot of self-block. And what I try to do is get them over that and say, you're in your own way. Like, once you're prepared and you have your materials and you've been working hard on your craft and you have your shit together, the next step is to get it out there. And if no one's knocking on your door, right? Unless you're a celebrity, right, no one's coming to you and pounding on your door for these jobs. And it's really your job to engage and figure out how to be a service provider and a salesperson. And that can be hard. I mean, it's intimidating to do that. But I find a lot of people, it's really just them. It's they're in their own way and they don't know how to move past that in a way that makes sense for them. So we try to work through some of those things.
So how do you help them work through those like confidence issues or those, how do you help them to kind of break out of that? It almost sounds like a therapy session.
It kind of sometimes is. And sometimes there's wine and sometimes we cry and sometimes like we do that. But I try to also, in the same kind of way that I role play in the audition experience, I try to give them an opportunity to craft their emails and like send it to me for a first impression, kind of first look, and say, you know, maybe we could chop this out, or maybe we could add this, or, you know, maybe we could do this. But we start very small. Like after we get through the role play scenarios, we do 1 to 2 email touches a week. And we start with these micro goals so that we don't get overwhelmed and we're not feeling like, oh, well, how am I going to get to 50 emails, 100 that. Emails? This. It's like,
love micro goals.
Very small. Yes. Very small steps to build that confidence. And it's really like, once you send the first couple, you're like, oh, I don't know why the fuck I wasn't doing this before. You know?
So what are your general goals like in a week? Do you like set out goals for yourself? Like what do you generally set out for?
Sure. I mean, I try to, I still pitch to agents. I still direct market to new people and to people that I haven't spoken to in years. You know, I have a huge CRM of people where I've marketed to and they said, don't ever contact me again. Well, I'm not deleting them out of my CRM. I'll just wait a little bit and see if I can maybe change their mind later on down the road with the new things that I've learned or the new skills that I have or the new ways that I can help your business, because technology has changed and the markets have changed. And, you know, I have these skills and maybe you might want them. So goals I have usually vary week to week, but it's always trying to get someone new into the fold, turning someone from a cold lead or a warm lead into a hot one, and just trying to build the empire, so to speak.
The empire. Little, I love that. Build the empire.
You know, one new client at a time, for sure.
Yeah. So that's a lot of hats. Like, what is a day in the life of Mandy Fisher? Like, how do you balance all that?
I don't know. I'm a very bad, I don't know. The answer truthfully is I don't know. I don't have a ton of work-life balance. I'm probably the worst person to ask about work-life balance, but something that helps me kind of organize everything is I'm a writer downer. I write everything down and I time block. So I do three blocks of time, morning, afternoon, and end of day. And I put all the things that I want to do in those time blocks. And I check them off as I've done them. But if I don't get to something within that time block, it doesn't cascade down into the next time block. I have to put it into the next day. So maybe I'll reprioritize that. If it was something in the afternoon that I didn't get to, maybe I'll put it in the morning so that I can do it the next day. But it doesn't, you know, domino effect. So I feel like I stay pretty organized using that method. But you know, life happens and things come up and doctors and dogs and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, just do the best you can.
Gotcha. So what led you guys to starting a podcast? Like, what was your goal behind creating a podcast?
I think having fun and not having another podcast that felt like we were always just talking about voiceover stuff and maybe trying to get to know people in a way outside of voiceover, because we know so many people in voiceover and know what they're doing in voiceover, but we wanted to just have this sort of chill, just like this, where it's just this chill, fun, relaxing experience where it's not just voiceover driven. But we get to, you know, have chats with our friends and drink a little bit and learn some useless facts every now and then.
So what do you do for fun? Like, how do you recharge your batteries outside of the booth? I know you just said you don't have work-life balance, but like the few times that you do, what are things that you enjoy doing that like get you out of your booth?
Yeah.
Other than drinking.
Other than drinking. Yeah, right. It sounds awful, but no.
I mean, I've heard you say it three times, so I was like, yeah.
It's present for sure. I enjoy flying and skydiving, and I read a lot of books, and I play with my dog, and you know, I live in New York City, so there's tons of stuff to do. Not that I do a ton of stuff, but I like to go see shows, and I like to you know, go to new restaurants, because there's always a new restaurant or there's always some cool thing happening in a bar, like randomly walk in and there's music or comedy
bars.
Or like you never know. So I enjoy, you know, doing some exploration here and there.
Gotcha. So if you were to write a letter and send it back in time to your younger self when you were first starting in voiceover, what would you tell your past self?
That no one cares.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares about what?
About anything. Like, stop caring so much about what other people think. That's
okay.
I mean.
Okay.
Like,
no one
cares. Like, nobody cares. Just have fun and try things and don't be so afraid and don't limit yourself and get out of your own way. What I tell my students and don't do things too early. Don't rush the learning phase, because you only get to be new once, and you only get to be in this phase where you don't know what you don't know one time. And when you rush that, I've always been a rusher. I've always, like, I graduated high school early, I graduated college early, I've always been rushing to the next step. And for what? Like, I wish I could go back to college. I wish I could take the time to really luxuriate in learning. So I would tell myself to slow down, baby cakes, and just enjoy the learning phases and ask more questions and stop being afraid, because nobody cares.
How did you figure out how to slow down? I still have that issue.
Yeah,
I'm always zooming around. I'm like, no, I need to get like 20 new clients today and I need to do 500 auditions. And like, how do you kind of, meditation helps me a little, but like, how do you just.
I think, I don't know. I think the time blocking thing actually really does help me with that, and like focus on micro goals that lead to the bigger goals. I started creating vision boards, and I have them like all over now, where I'm like, okay, does this, what I'm trying to do right now, does this lead to the goal that I have here right in front of my face? Does it lead to this? Is it something that's just for fun? Is it something that's actually helping me? Like, am I doing too much? Do I feel like really trying to just tune into how I feel and where I am in space has helped. But I don't know. I think it's still a process. I think I'm still figuring that stuff out.
How do you make a vision board? Because like I've heard the terminology vision board, and I probably do like some form of it. But like, what's the actual process of making a vision board?
Yeah, I mean, it can be anything you want it to be, and that's sort of like the beauty. Like you can get all like crafty and cut stuff out and cut and paste and have a craft session, or it can be like kind of serial killer esque where you've got
serial killer notes. oh, I thought you were like cutting out magazines of like the words that
well,
you were
yeah. You can do that, like God bless, like
like a whatever, ransom note,
whatever that vision is, like who am I to judge, right? Like you do you. But it's really about identifying things that matter to you and mm-hmm. and things that you want to have happen in your life. And I know it feels a little woo-woo, and maybe it is, but there's this thing that happens neurologically when you are faced every day with seeing things visually that mm-hmm. mean something to you. It really right. helps you focus, and it helps you understand goals in a new way, and it helps you create smart goals and goals that are smaller that lead to the bigger ones. So you never feel like you're failing or that you're stuck, because you're always accomplishing something, even if it's small. I don't care.
Oh, I love that.
The tiniest thing, like you're always moving towards something, and you're never in this position of I failed today, I suck today, I didn't do anything today, you know. And that can be right. this emotional drain and spiral, and you can be stuck there for a while, and that sucks, and that's not productive or helpful or healthy. You know, you don't want to be in that toxic state of I'm not accomplishing. So if you have these little tiny things that you can accomplish every day, then you're never feeling like you're failing.
I love that. That's actually something that I had to figure out in the past couple of months, because like I was like, oh, these are my weekly goals and I'm not hitting them. Maybe I'm setting them too high. Maybe I don't have enough time in the day. But then I started figuring out, okay, what do I need to do on a daily basis to equal those? And even if I don't end up doing my weekly goals, I accomplished my goal that I set out to do today. And so exactly. then that gives me a little gold sticker.
And that like, yeah. And that little shot of dopamine, you know, outside of mm-hmm. coffee, that little shot of dopamine does so much for you, like personally, mentally, spiritually, whatever. And yeah. that's important, you know?
So was there a moment when you figured out, I don't know how to word this, but I guess I'll just say it. Was there a moment when you figured out nobody cared? Like, was that like a click?
I think, yeah, I think it happened more in after college. Like I had just graduated college and I was trying to get new reps, and I was literally walking around New York City, going into offices and dropping my stuff off. And some people were like some like snotty people in an office were making fun of me because I'm not a trendy, fashionable gal. Like I just wear what I like. And they were definitely making fun of me. And it didn't bother me. Like, mm-hmm. I just was like, so what? Like, I'm never going to see you ever again. Like, I don't care. Like, it just sort of, yeah, gave me this, I don't care that you're laughing at me right now. I'm going to get an agent and you're not. Yeah. And it just like got this fire in me. And I kind of, since that day, have just moved forward knowing that your opinion on that thing doesn't matter, and I'm still going to be me regardless of your opinion, whether it's positive or negative, and it has no power over me. So once I think that was the moment where it just kind of boop, light bulb turned on.
And did you have that feeling in regards to voiceover peers as well? Cause that was an issue that I struggled with until maybe like a couple of months ago, where I was afraid to put, like, I was trying to figure out how to boost my social media. But mm-hmm. when I was doing that, I was thinking of peers and not of clients, because a lot of my followers are peers. And so I'm like, oh, like one of my voiceover friends or somebody up in the industry is going to think this is dumb, or like, who am I to say this is what voiceover is? You know what I mean? And so that yeah. there was a moment where I had to kind of shut that off and nobody cares. So did right. you have that kind of same experience?
I think I still struggle with that, to be honest. And I think, well, as creative entrepreneurs with sensitive creative hearts, we'll always have some kind of battle with that. Yeah, there are definitely days where I'm like, does anyone even care what I'm saying? Like, maybe not. Maybe this is the last video I'll make because nobody cares. But then I'll get a message from somebody that says, this really helped me, or thank you so much for talking about this because I haven't heard anyone else talk about it and this resonated with me, or this was what helped me get over the hump. So yes, some days I'm like, oh, well, what if this person hears it? That's going to be super embarrassing. But
yeah,
you got to just quash it. You just got to quash it. If this is what you love and this is who you are and this is what you want to do, then, you know, that ego side of your brain that's, you know, yapping, you just got to be like, hey, backseat it, go take a break, have a coffee break, and we're just going to do us.
Fantastic. And where can people find you and your content and all the amazing things that you share all over the voiceover universe?
Mostly on TikTok. You can find me at Astoria Redhead on TikTok. I have a resource website, AstoriaRedheadVoiceover.com, and there's lots of great resources there that I've created, but other people have created, and other people that know a lot more than I do are represented there. Those are the two main places that I am.
Well, thank you for coming on. This has been a blast.
Yeah, thank you. Great conversation. Definitely not stuff that I typically get to talk about in interviews. So thank you for being so thoughtful.
I really hope you enjoyed Mandy's view on the industry, how she has used resources to build client relationships, and with all of her experience as a voiceover artist, has used her path to help other artists carve their own. If you would like to hear her work, you can visit MandioFish.com. And if you'd like to see her content that we kept talking about during this episode, follow her on TikTok at the handle Astoria Redhead. Trust me, it's worth it. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit VOCoffeeShop.com and our YouTube channel or your favorite podcast streaming platform. You know you want to.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.